Well, I'd like to share some scriptures that have been a blessing to me this week. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I just pray God will help me to convey the depth of the blessing that I see in God's Word today. Look here with me at Psalms 1. This is the description of the happy man. The word is blessed in the King James, but its original intent is happy. And not just happy, but how happy, with an exclamation point. So an emphatic, how happy is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. That's kind of a coming in from the negative way to show what the happy man does not do. And we've covered those things before, but today I want to think about what he does. What does the happy man or the blessed man do? And not just man, but a woman too, or happy is the boy or the girl that does this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This word delight, let's look at it just a little bit. For a person to have a delight in the law of the Lord. Now I've got boys, well, a daughter too, who love to eat. They, all three of them, love to eat. And I've seen one of my boys come to the table and do this. Wouldn't you say that's delight? That he delighted in what he saw before him and was so happy that it was time to eat. And I know that feeling too. I love good food. I actually love cooking good food just about as much as I love eating good food. But that's a delight. Now, if you have too great a delight in it and you delight all the time, things happen. So we kind of curb those delights. But this delight in God's law is a delight that you don't have to curb. In reality, you've got to foster it with all that you have and put your mind to it. And that's where the meaning of this word comes in. It means to incline toward. It means to bend. Does that bring some thoughts to your mind? To bend, to me that brings the thought of purpose. It brings the thought of surrender. It brings the thought of consecration and of a deliberate, seeking after. Did you know that you don't really delight or bend toward the law of the Lord naturally? And normally a person does really not delight in prayer or Bible reading until something happens in their life and in their heart. And it should be the prayer of all of us. If you find yourself this morning not delighting, not having an inclination toward doing that, then it's time to say to yourself, you know what? You're missing a blessing. You're missing happiness. You're seeking after and bending after something that isn't going to help you. It's not going to bless you. Lord, this is talking to yourself. And then ask the Lord, Lord, give me a bending toward, just like a sensitive flower on a little stem. Have you ever seen how those sunflowers, they bend toward the sun? I've had flowers in my window that I can just put that flower toward the sun and in a little bit turn that pot around and that thing will bend back toward the other way in just minutes, in just an hour or so you'll see it completely turn the other way. That's what this delight means. It means to bend, to incline toward. and to have pleasure in, to find your pleasure in the law of the Lord. Now, what's the law of the Lord? Is it just the Ten Commandments? Is it just those laws that talked about sacrifices and about adultery and about plowing your fields and all of that? Is that it? Is it the book of Exodus and Leviticus where he wrote all that law? Is it, what did David have? David had that. He had those first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, what's rest? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he had all that. He also had the books written by Samuel and those that wrote the Chronicles and the King's stories. So, well, he didn't have those because David was the second king, so he didn't have those. The prophets Ezra and Nehemiah had those, and they wrote a lot of the Psalms that had to do with the love of God's law. Psalm 119 was most likely written by Ezra. And you know how he treated the Word of God. He caused it to be read to all the people and also had people to stand up and give a meaning to the people. He loved God's law. And he describes that love in Psalm 119. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That was Ezra. Ezra was a mighty man who God used to rebuild and restore the worship of God in Jerusalem after captivity to Babylon. So this description, this delight is in the law of the Lord. What it really means is all of the revelation of the divine will. All of the things that God has used to express and reveal himself. His dealings with you. You know, the Lord will come and deal with people. I heard a woman, her testimony was that she was practicing a lesbian lifestyle. And the Lord came to her and said, your sin is going to kill you. Now that was God's law to her. In that minute, that was the law of the Lord to her. He revealed to her. And so she forsook it. She started seeking after God, what do you want me to do? And she left that lifestyle. It can be done. It was somebody I didn't know, but God dealt with her. And God can deal with everyone. I remember reading a story about a young Muslim woman who began to seek after Christ. And there's things like speaking to, she was a wealthy woman, so she had slaves and servants over in the Middle East. And one day her servant was tending to her and combing her hair. She spoke very harshly to her servant. And she said she had been seeking God and reading in the Bible, and she had felt this warm presence surrounding her. And the minute that she spoke very harshly to her slave, the presence left and it was cold. And she said, oh, what did I do to make you leave me? And she began to apologize, and the presence came back. Just things like that. God touches people and deals with people all over the world. Just wherever he has revealed himself and dealt with you in your life, that's his law to you. Plus, well, in addition to his written word, all of his written commands, the law of Jehovah, is in his inclination, is what this should say in the Hebrew. His delight is in the law. The law of Jehovah is his inclination. Jesus said, He said, let me just get this so I can read the words correctly. But he said, in the law and in the Psalms, in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, Jesus said there were scriptures that concerned him. In the law, we read of the Messiah. We read of his grace and his kingdom in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, there are lots of things in the Old Testament where we read of the Messiah and his grace and his kingdom. So these are kind of some pointers about what it is. The law is the body of recorded truths of God. The body of recorded truths of God. He recorded it in nature. He recorded it in his law at Sinai and to Moses. Moses wrote those five books. David wrote books. Solomon wrote books. The prophets wrote books. All of those contain the law of God. It's the body of recorded truths of God. The precepts and the promises, the commands, any part of divine revelation. That's what he said. The happy man has an inclination, or he bends to obey and to read and to follow that. You've got to seek after those things. And I'm thankful this morning that I know people who do that. I know people who have made a practice in their life to seek God's law, to read it, to understand it. If you don't understand it, go seeking. Look up the words. Ask God to connect you with another thought. And I've had people to tell me, I didn't understand it, and so I just prayed about it. And I waited and I asked God to help me to understand. And while I was working one day, it came to my mind, this is what this means. When that happens, it does fill your heart with wonderful joy. There's just nothing like that happiness. There is no happiness here on earth like that happiness of having the Lord reveal something to you that you wondered about. So I encourage you this morning, you young boys, young men, you don't understand a lot about God's law. You probably sometimes feel like that he's all one way. He's all terror and punishment. Did you know there's a whole other side of God that you don't know about? That when you find out about God in that way, it balances it all out. And there's joy in finding the side of God that is loving and kind. Did you know that all of his laws were made for our welfare, because he loved us, because he didn't want us to know evil and wrong and the hurt and the violence of sin and wickedness? Did you know everything that he gave in his law was to keep man from having to experience the sorrows of sin? That's God's law. It is the revelation of his divine love for mankind. So many times we think it's his revelation of his punishment for what we do wrong. No, it's his revelation of what he has provided for us to keep us from the punishment and the power of sin. In his law is a revelation of the Messiah who came to save us from our sins. So that's what it means to delight in the law of the Lord. To have deep, serious, and affectionate thoughtfulness about it. To diligently and constantly, in order to find out the sense and the meaning of it. To diligently and constantly have a thought toward it. And it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I remember my dad always said that God used the animal that chews its cud as an example of a spiritual man. Now you think, what? Why would that be an example? Well, he explained it like this, and that the animal that chews its cud, and I think he said the rabbits do, so didn't God let them eat rabbits? Because they... I may be wrong on that one. But anyway, the animals that he allowed his people to eat showed some of the spiritual aspects of a godly man. And the ones that he didn't allow them to eat back there showed aspects of sinful man. And that's why he made that distinction back in his law. Today it's fulfilled in the spiritual. So we take those characteristics that we see in those animals or birds and we apply them spiritually and say, we don't want to be that way. We don't want that in our lives. Well, anyway, this about the cud, my dad said it pointed to meditation. that an animal went out, the cow went out and he ate a bunch of grass and it went into his stomach. Well, a cow has four stomachs. And so the cow would bring it back up again into his mouth and chew on it a while. And then it would digest some more. And so this process of chewing on it and is just like the process of meditating on God's law. Now, we're going to meditate on something. Why don't we make it or bend ourselves to seek after meditating on God's law? Because usually it's in the process of meditation that the revelation occurs. It is. It's when you've bent your mind and heart to seek to know and understand, and you're thinking on it, that the Lord begins to give you some thoughts. Not always. Like I said a while ago, someone said they were just working along and all of a sudden it just dropped into their minds. But they had been thinking. They had been giving some time and thought to it earlier and asking the Lord. So let's do this. I think one of the scriptures that one of the boys had as a verse from Joshua where it said, "Be strong and of a good courage." The verse that goes after that said, "In this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." I think that's the verse that comes before Justin's verse. "That thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." Sometimes we... Have you ever had a command from your parents that you didn't understand? But if you thought about it a while, if you could think deeper than the surface, "Oh man, they don't want me to have any fun." But think about it. Think about it deeper than the surface. Why do they say no to this? Why do they not want me to talk this way? Why? And just begin to think about it. And he said, meditate on it that thou mayest observe to do it. Sometimes when you meditate on something and understand the reason why, you have a better mind about doing it, don't you? If you can understand why, you can do it easier. I think that's true about a lot of things. Let's say you don't understand the quality or the power of bleach. So you've got on your good black pants, and you say, "I'm just going to pour this bleach in something, and I'm just going to wipe it around on stuff." And you just don't understand the quality or the power of it, and you let the bleach get on your black pants. What's going to happen? It'll turn it white. One time a child of ours didn't understand the quality and power of bleach, and pool shock accidentally got some all over. We threw towels on that pool shock to mop it up, and guess what happened? When you went back to the towel about 30 minutes later to pick it up, it was in pieces. That chemical it disintegrated those towels. When you understand the power and the quality of anger, can you understand then why God wants you to do something with your anger? He wants you to pray to Him about it. He wants you to give some thought to it. God, remember the prophet Jonah that we talked about Wednesday night? What are the two questions that God asked Jonah after he was over there pouting on the hill? What were the two questions that God asked Jonah? Do you well to be angry? Think about this. God, there's a process of thought that if we will take what he's saying here, meditate on his law, meditate on the things that he's told us not to do. Why? God's got a reasoning that he wants to do with us. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." If you'll sit down and reason with the Lord, and follow his reasoning. And he says to us, be kind one to another. If I can understand the power of love and kindness, if I could meditate on it, I think I would employ it much more. There's a lot of things that we can do by just habit or because we think our parents told us to or told us not to. But if we could meditate, when you're a child, you can start saying, Lord, teach me the reason. Teach me understanding. Why do you require us to do this? Or why do you say, don't do this? And the Lord he'll visit you. He'll talk to you. And then the doing of it it'll make much more sense. It'll be easier for you. Because why? You're bending your mind to it. You're inclining toward it. So he says here, he shall be, in his law doth he meditate day and night. All right, let's go on. I don't want to bore you. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is the blessing part. This is what I really like to think about. I like to think about a person who has their soul satisfied day in and day out, year in and year out. As the seasons come and go, they've got a source that constantly replenishes, renews, invigorates, causes growth, causes there to be beauty in the life. Isn't that wonderful to think about having? It's not dependent on the people around you. You say, well, if I only had a good pastor, or if we just had Sunday school, or if I had good parents, or if I had a grandmother or a grandfather to help me, or it doesn't matter. Your real source is the law of the Lord. That's where you get the strength, is in the Lord. And when you're planted, when you meditate and you delight in Him and you constantly bend toward Him, you get this blessing of being a tree planted by a great source of strength and comfort and help and understanding and wisdom and righteousness. Everything you need, you have that blessing of being right there where it just, a tree planted, fixed, secure by the rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I remember speaking to some young people about this one time that were kind of doubting, well, does the Lord love me, or is the Lord in my life, or whatever. And I just looked at him and I said, a tree is known by his fruits. You have the fruit. Don't let the enemy discourage you. You have the fruit. Whenever you are seeking the Lord, now I'm not talking about a person who doesn't really have their heart in it. I didn't say those things lightly or to flatter. I would only say that to someone that I know is seeking constantly and the enemy is trying to accuse them. But when you have fruit in your life, that's the true evidence of this kind of seeking and delight in the law of the Lord. He brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is mainly, I'm sure, spiritually, but physically too, temporally. I've seen the person that follows God's law, who's honest, hardworking, industrious, has integrity, that person is going to prosper even in the things of this world. God's going to bless them. People will seek after them. That's who the bosses want to work for them. They want this person. Why? They may not even believe God's law, but they believe what they see coming out of your life. They know you won't lie to them. They know you won't steal from them. They know you'll work a day for a day's wage. They know you'll give it all that that you've got. That's what comes out of the life of a person like this. Is someone who's honest and upright and hardworking. And God will prosper you. And whatever you do, God will prosper. And I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen over and over. Young men, listen to me this morning. God will prosper your life in every way if you do this simple thing. Just bend your heart and your mind to understand what God wants you to do. That's simply put, but that's really what this is. If you do that, if you keep your tender heart and bend it toward the law of the Lord, this says you'll prosper. Everything that you do will prosper. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Now I want to go to another psalm. And there's a blessing in this psalm too. 91 and verse 14. This says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now here, a while back, I asked this question in our services here. I said, what does it mean to set your heart upon the Lord? What are the characteristics of a person who has set his love upon the Lord? I wonder if anybody has gone away and thought about that. What does it look like for a person to set their love upon the Lord? What this means is not the same word as the one in Psalm 1 where it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's not the same word, but it has almost the same meaning. It means to cling to join, and it means to delight in and to be attached to. That's what this is talking about. And God is speaking here. God says, and you could put your name here or anybody's name, because Dan has set his love upon me. This is God saying this. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. These are the promises that come to somebody who sets their love on the Lord, who meditates on the Lord, who delights in the Lord. These are the promises. He said, I will deliver him. I'm thankful for the great deliverance that God makes in our lives out of a lot of things. You may be a person who's in bondage to a lot of fears, but if you set your love on the Lord, if you take delight in the Lord will deliver him. He'll deliver you. I think Psalm 34 says that. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Thank the Lord for that. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. It says, I will set him on high. Now, this is a wonderful word right here. It is the same word that's found in this verse, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. That word safe is this same word. I will set him on high. I will put him in a place. The word actually means inaccessible. Thank the Lord. You think about the word, the song, that wicked one toucheth him not. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor, the promise of God's written word to keep him by night and by day. This says, I will set him on high. I will set him in the strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Praise the Lord. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. See how that goes with that verse, Proverbs 18:10. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Now this almost sounds like a paradox. This one says, I'll be with him in trouble, I'll deliver him. I think it was Matthew Henry that said, in due time he will deliver him, and in the meantime he'll be with him. He'll be with you in the trouble, and in the due time when it's right, it's good for you that the Lord delivers you out, he'll deliver you out. So that's a wonderful promise. We win either way. We win with the Lord with us in the trouble, and we win when he delivers us out of the trouble. I'm thankful for that promise that he's given, that he will cause us to escape. That's what the word deliver here means. It means to slip out. They took that word and used it concerning labor and delivery of a child or an animal. That word means to slip out. It means to escape. That's an interesting thought. I really enjoyed that thought, that the Lord delivers us in time. I will deliver him and honor him. I love that thought a lot, because that thought of honoring someone, it means to make something heavy. It means to just copiously give and just load someone down with blessings. That's what the Lord does for people who set their love on him. He will load you down with blessings. He will give you many, many blessings, one upon another. It's not exaggerated. I do not exaggerate these things. This really happens to those who really bend their hearts and set their hearts to cling to God no matter what. No matter what trouble, no matter what he allows. I go back to him and I cry to him and I pray to him. And I don't understand something, and something's hard for me, and maybe I fail, and I make a mess of things, but I go back to him, and I cling to him, and I set my love on him. And he blesses copiously, without merit, no reason. He just does things for those who set their love on him. I will honor him. I think of lots of things that the Lord has given us so freely. His grace, the Spirit. What's some of the other things that, let's see. He hath given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Another scripture, Romans 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That word shed abroad, it means the same thing. It means a free, a heavy, liberal application of something. What's another one? Titus 3, it says. He shed the Holy Spirit on us abundantly. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the meaning of this word. I'll honor him. I will abundantly bestow blessings upon that one who sets his love upon me. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, in the Old Testament, long life was the promise that was given to people who would obey. Like in the wilderness, with the children of Israel, he gave them long life in the land of Canaan who would obey him. Unfortunately, it was only two. That's sad, isn't it? In 40 years, all of those that wouldn't obey were gone, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And what was said about Caleb? He was 80 years old, and he said, I have just as much strength now as I did at 40. Give me this mountain. I want the one with all the giants. That's what Caleb was like. That's a fulfillment of this scripture. If you obey me, your life will be long in the land that I give you. And that's how Caleb was. Joshua also. Joshua was old, 110 when he died. He surpassed a lot of the people. Why? Because he obeyed God. Now that was the promise of the Old Testament. The New Testament said it was the commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother. Obey your parents and your days may be long in the land. Now in the New Testament, there's a little bit of a difference in that they came into times where their lives, they didn't count their lives. How was it? They loved not their lives unto the death. Many people, many young people lost their lives. It wasn't a sign that they hadn't obeyed. It was just a change in things. It was they found the meaning in to depart with Christ is far better. To depart and be with Christ. That's a difference in the Old and the New Testament. It is true, though, that as a child and young person, if you obey your parents, you'll escape a lot of the dangers that could kill you. I mean, if they tell you, don't speed, don't drink and drive, don't drink at all, don't do drugs, you know, all of those things, that will prolong your life. That's true. So God's word, it means good for us in obeying Him. However, in New Testament and Old Testament, it says, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. I almost think that that's, as I said before, when the Lord reveals Himself to you, that's just the best blessing of all. When the Lord begins to share with you His ways, His will, and whenever He begins to call you and show you things about yourself. This is why I created you this way. This is the gift that I have given you to do in life. This is your purpose. Isn't that a sweet thing that the Lord will do? And you have one. God made you a certain way for a certain purpose. So when you find that out, there's a satisfaction and a peace in that that is worth more than anything. I thank the Lord. I know people that have followed these things that I've told you. I know actual people living, walking on the earth today. I know young men that and young ladies that have followed these things. I was thinking this morning of a young man that I met about 6 years ago. And I was very struck with him at the time. I'd never met him before. But there was something about him. There was a seeking in his heart. And he was a young man that was from a home that was split up. He came to church with his great grandmother, an old lady in a wheelchair. And you might would think, how would an old lady in a wheelchair influence a young boy? And he was there. And there was just something about him. He had set himself apart from the rest to seek the Lord. And he sought the Lord. And he didn't stop seeking the Lord. And he still seeks the Lord. God has made his life a blessing. He's been a blessing to many people. He's been a blessing all over the country. The Lord has just given him friends. He's given him faithful friends. This year, on his birthday, well, I just had to compare it to the young boy that had left all of his friends in the world and come to be with the little group of saints. But that was 6 years ago. But this year, on his birthday, I think he had 5 friends from all over the United States fly or drive to his home way on the West Coast and be with him on his birthday. I just, that just makes me cry, because that young man has set his love upon the Lord. And he's forsaken. He forsook his church, his school, his family. He clung to the faith of his great-grandmother. I'm sure the blessings of the Lord haven't stopped. The Lord's got more for him. But this is what will happen to you. It's just God's way. When you choose his way, these are the blessings. Yes, you say, well, how come he just doesn't bless everybody like this? I mean, doesn't he love the sinner too? Yes, but someone wrote it this way, and I thought it was a good analogy. If he would put these kind of blessings upon someone who didn't care, someone who didn't want to live for him, someone who never sought him, but okay, so he comes and he puts all these blessings on a person like that. It'd be like putting a beautiful snowstorm that makes everything lovely and going and putting it on top of a hot, bubbling volcano. That's what it would be like. Wouldn't work. It just doesn't work that way. God doesn't go over and rain on a volcano. And that's what a person's life is like in sin. Bubbling and seething, unrest and violence and wickedness. God doesn't put that blessing on a life like that or a heart like that. He puts his blessing on someone who bends toward him, who surrenders. I surrender all was the song we sang. And that was so fitting for this message because that's where the blessing of the Lord is to a heart that surrenders all. He said, Lord, let me feel thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. And another song that we sang was, something about copious showers in 436. What's the word? What's the verse that says? His blessing and his love flow down on me in copious showers. What kind of a heart was saying that? Oh Lord, I bow low at thy feet. That's the blessing of the Lord that comes down upon those who diligently, often turn their hearts in seeking and delighting in the law of the Lord.